Shalom, everyone. I'm Josiah Jeffrey.
I'm Hosea Jeffrey.
And we're back studying the Torah portions. This week we're looking at the portion Toldot, which goes from Genesis 25:19 to 28:9. We've already read the portion ahead of time, so if you'd like to read it as well, why don't you go ahead and pause the video and read it, and we'll go ahead and get into discussing.
Toldot tells the story of Abraham's son Isaac, including the birth of his two twin sons, Esau and Jacob. Esau and Jacob are shown to have a rivalry with one another, and we'll see in this portion how Jacob becomes the son of the promise, who will receive the blessing of the land of Canaan and of the great nation, which will be a blessing to all the earth.
So this portion begins with Isaac and Rebekah living in Canaan, and we learn that Rebekah is barren, just like Isaac's mother Sarah, who couldn't have children, and it was miraculous that she had Isaac. In this case, I mean, Rebekah isn't as old as Sarah was, but Rebekah was still barren. And if you do the math based on some of the numbers given here, she was barren for 20 years. So it's pretty significant when it says that God heard Isaac's prayers to give Rebekah children, and she got twins.
I imagine that Isaac was praying to God for more than a little bit. Considering that she was barren for 20 years, that sounds like the kind of thing that you would be praying for habitually.
Right.
Like his father, Isaac had to wait. But like his father, God hears his prayers and he's faithful.
Right. It shows what Yeshua said. I believe I touched on this in a previous portion, but Yeshua says to always pray and not lose heart. Sometimes God takes a while.
Right.
But you can have faith and he'll give you what you ask for. He won't always give exactly how you expect, but
he'll give you what you need. He'll give you a good gift.
Exactly.
And in this case, what Isaac was asking for was fulfillment of the promise. And that is a good thing to ask. That is something that God is absolutely going to do when you pray.
Right, absolutely. But it might take a while.
Right. So, Rebekah, having conceived, has twins, like you said. And immediately, they're already
they're already fighting, and they haven't even been born yet.
Right. And so, Rebekah is saying, why is this happening to me? And she's praying to God. And God says, you've got two children in there. They're going to be two nations.
Yeah.
And they're going to fight, going to be divided, and the older is going to be subservient to the younger.
Right.
The younger is going to be the stronger one.
Which is kind of weird, but at the same time, you look at Ishmael and Isaac.
Right.
That's the pattern that we saw. Ishmael was the firstborn, but God's like, that's not the son of the promise. I'm picking Isaac.
People naturally give everything to the firstborn.
And there's a right to the firstborn. The firstborn gets a birthright.
Right.
Which Jacob ends up stealing later in this portion.
Yeah.
But
God has the power and authority to override that. And we see him use that several times throughout Scripture.
Right.
He picks the younger one. For no apparent reason, and makes him the greater one.
Right.
And in this case, neither one of them had done a thing yet.
Right. There was no reason for God to pick the younger one at this point.
Right. It was simply God's call. Now, later, they're going to do things which
kind of indicate why Esau wasn't deserving to be the child of the promise, but at the same time, Jacob wasn't a good guy either.
Yeah.
It indicates, I mean, Paul points to it in Romans 9, I believe. God says, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. Before they'd done a thing. And not because they'd done a thing. Because they hadn't. And so it shows God's prerogative to choose. He chooses us. He chooses some people for some things, some people for other things, and we can't question that. It's kind of a hard thing to swallow. He's not unjust about it, but he still is the one who gets to choose.
Right. We're going to see God's choice was not unjust. But he picked it before
anything had happened. Right. So after God tells Rebecca that the older is going to serve the younger and all that, she gives birth. And when Esau, the oldest, is born, he's all hairy, so that's why they call him Esau. I don't remember exactly what Esau means.
I believe it means hairy.
But when Esau's born, Jacob is grabbing his heel.
In Hebrew, there were various idioms pertaining to heels, which have to do with enmity.
Right.
Whether that be trying to usurp something from someone else by reaching for their heel.
Or like
betraying or attacking someone by lifting up your own heel against them.
Right. It's kind of weird, but whatever the case, Jacob is grabbing Esau's heel. And then later we'll see in this portion that Esau says it's an apt name to name him Yaakov or Jacob, which has to do with grasping the heel, because that's also apparently a Hebrew idiom for usurping someone.
I mean, the very act shows some of that symbolism. Jacob is grabbing Esau and like trying to catch up to him, like, you're not going anywhere without me. It's like he's trying to keep his brother from being greater than him.
Mm.
And so that very much shows Jacob's personality. Jacob's constantly going to be trying to outpace Esau and get to be greater than him. And he does succeed.
Right.
And so we already see Jacob starting to supplant Esau.
Right.
When they've grown into young men. Esau grew up to become a hunter.
Right.
And Jacob
he was a peaceful guy.
Yeah, he just kind of stayed in the tents.
Right.
But one day, Esau came into the tent, come back from hunting.
He was saying, like, I'm famished. I'm so hungry.
I'm tired. I'm hungry. Give me food.
And Jacob's like, I'll give you food if you give me your birthright. And Esau's just like, it doesn't matter anyway. I'm going to die if I don't get food. Sure, you can have my birthright. After this, it says, thus Esau despised his birthright. So, yes, Jacob here was being kind of tricksy. But Esau obviously did not care about his birthright. He despised his birthright. He was like, I will sell my birthright for a bowl of soup and some bread.
Right. In this case, Jacob wasn't being underhanded. He was very clear.
He laid it out on the table. This is a trade.
Right.
There was no deception or anything about it.
Right.
But, and I guess I said earlier he stole the birthright, but he didn't actually steal it. He just gave Esau the opportunity to give it away.
Right. And Esau later accuses him of having stolen it.
Right.
But it wasn't really stealing. Basically, Jacob valued the birthright, even though he didn't have it.
Right.
And Esau didn't value the birthright, even though he did have it.
Yeah.
He was the heir of the promise, although God had already said that's going to go to Jacob.
Right.
But nonetheless, he was the heir, and he sold that birthright. Then it was in line with what God said was going to happen.
Right.
But it was able to happen that way because Esau did not care, and because he had no faith.
Right.
Basically, we've seen how God provided for Abraham through so much.
He was even willing to kill his son Isaac, believing that God would raise him out of the dead. We covered that a few videos back.
Abraham believed that if God made the promise, he could do anything. But Esau was saying, my birthright that I've got, the promise that was made to Abraham and Isaac, is useless to me.
Because I'm about to die.
He didn't believe that God could feed him. When
that would have been like the, out of all the amazing things that God's done so far, that would be like one of the easiest things.
Right. Jacob's got a bowl of soup right there. I'm sure he can get some food elsewhere. I mean, he's a hunter. But he was so interested in the now. And he, unlike, so Abraham looked with faith toward the future. But Esau didn't care about the future at all.
He was just like, now I'm hungry.
Now I'm hungry. Now I see food. Now I want food.
Now you don't have a birthright.
Yeah, and Esau's going to regret that decision later.
Yeah.
But Hebrews says he doesn't have a place of reformation.
Or a place of repentance.
Right. He couldn't find a place of repentance.
Right.
Even though he sought it with tears.
He saw the negative consequences of what he had done, but he wasn't sorry about what he had done.
No, he blamed Jacob. It comes down to the fact that Jacob valued it. He saw to the future.
Mm.
And Esau didn't value it, and he threw it away.
Right. And one other thing I wanted to note about this is that it says here that Esau got a second name, which is Edom, which means red, because he saw some of the red stuff that Jacob has had and was like, give me some of that red stuff. Mm-hmm. And the nation that later comes from Esau is called Edom. So this one single act, this short-sighted act, defined him and his descendants in perpetuity. Actions that you do just based on what you're seeing right now have long-term consequences. So after telling us this story about Jacob and Esau, the portion then cuts over to Isaac and Rebekah and talks about how, like Abraham, there was a famine where they were living in Canaan, and they had to go somewhere else to escape the famine. Now, interestingly, unlike the first time that Abraham wanted to escape a famine, God specifically tells Isaac, don't go to Egypt. That's what Abraham did the first time that he wanted to escape a famine. He went to Egypt. So instead, Isaac goes again to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, whom Abraham went to the second time he wanted to escape a famine.
Abimelech's land is part of the promised land.
Mm.
So God was telling Isaac, stay here in the land that I promised. Just like Abraham had said in the last portion, that Isaac needed to stay in the land. He couldn't go to take a wife. Now right. God's saying, don't go because of the famine. Trust me, stay in the land.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to give you and your seed all of this land.
Right.
It's Canaan, and it includes
the land of the Philistines.
Right, where Isaac ends up settling. And he says, I'm going to multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven. He's renewing the covenant that he made with Abraham, and he's repeating it to Isaac. And he's saying, because Abraham obeyed my voice.
Right.
So, on account of Abraham, God is confirming the promise to Isaac, which he already said he was going to do, like, a bunch of times. But now he's doing it. Abraham's dead, and I'm still showing my faithfulness to Abraham's son.
Right.
Because that's what I said I was going to do. Mm.
And it's not because of what Isaac was doing.
Right.
Yes, Isaac was faithful. He was listening to God, but God doesn't say that's why he's passing on this covenant. He says it's because of Abraham, for the sake of Abraham. And additionally, God reiterates here that by your descendants or your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. He says that to Isaac, reiterating what God said, one of the first things that God ever said to Abraham back in Genesis 12. So again, reiterating the call of Abraham and Isaac is not for their own sake. It's for the sake of all the families of the earth to be a blessing to them.
And because Isaac is faithful to that promise, he does what God wants him to do. He stays in the land, and he goes to Abimelech, who Abraham had spent a while with. And interestingly, when he goes down to the land of the Philistines, he says about his wife, Rebekah, she's my sister.
Round three.
This was the exact same thing that Abraham had done not once, but twice. And not only did Abraham do this twice, but the second time,
he did it to Abimelech.
Yes, he did it to Abimelech in the land of the Philistines.
Right.
So Isaac is literally doing the exact same thing Abraham did, with one exception. that Rebecca is not Isaac's sister.
Right.
Sarah was technically Abraham's
half-sister. Yeah. But this is just a flat-out lie.
Right.
Now, thankfully, when Isaac does it, nobody ends up getting hurt. Abimelech sees Isaac caressing Rebecca like a man does with his wife before anyone's done anything, and then Abimelech calls him and is like, why? Why did you do this? Abimelech knows exactly what happens if you because he did it. Abimelech took Sarah and bad things happened. And so Abimelech was like, you could have made it happen again.
And Isaac's reasons are the same. He's basically just copying his father.
Right, which, considering Abraham's how awesome a guy Abraham was, that's not the worst thing.
Yeah, Abraham's usually a good role model, but
this is the one thing that he did that we're both just, like, multiple times as we were doing this, we were just like,
eh. Yeah. And when Isaac does it, it's even less tenable.
Yeah, you can't justify it.
But no harm done.
Yeah.
He said, whoever touches this man and his wife will be put to death. Get that out of the way. You don't need to be afraid, Isaac, because no one's going to take your wife. Because if they do, they're going to die.
He knows the consequences of messing with Isaac because he saw the consequences of messing with Abraham.
Right. And he's starting to show, like, he knows that Isaac's Abraham's son, and he knew that God was with Abraham. But what he didn't understand yet was that God was with Isaac.
Right.
Because we see what happens afterwards. God blesses Isaac, just like he blessed Abraham. Abraham got richer everywhere he went. But and now, Isaac's doing the same thing.
But now the Philistines aren't so keen on having Isaac getting lots of stuff.
Right. When the people of the promise start to be blessed, the people around them get jealous and suspicious and expel them at best, which is what happened here.
Yeah.
Abimelech called Isaac and said, get out of our land. You're too big. Abimelech doesn't personally do anything bad to Isaac because he seems like a fair guy.
Yeah.
But Abimelech's people, the Philistines, start stopping up Isaac's wells.
The wells that Abraham dug.
Right. So they're actively trying to hamper Isaac.
Right.
And deprive him
of water in the desert during the famine.
Right.
That's so not cool.
So not only does that make it harder to find water to drink, but it makes it harder to find water to plant your crops.
Right.
Which is how he was being blessed so much. He was planting crops.
He sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold.
Right.
During a famine.
Yeah, and so the Philistines were jealous, so they were trying to bring him down, even after he had left Abimelech's land.
Right.
He was just trying to find a place to settle. So they filled his wells, so he left. When he found a well, the people came to him and said, ah, this is our land, so this is our well. Doesn't matter that you dug it, this is our well now, we're taking your well. So Isaac's just trying to stay out of trouble.
Right.
So he leaves again. And he finds another well, because God keeps giving him wells. And so they do it again. And it happens multiple times before finally he finds a well.
And he says, there's room for us in the land.
Right. The Philistines don't quarrel with him about it. He's able to settle with the well. So despite their efforts to thwart him, God blessed him.
Right.
And God appeared to him again, promised to bless him.
And his descendants.
And his descendants. And
so, again, for the sake of Abraham.
Right. And so Isaac's just getting more and more blessed.
Just like we saw with Abraham.
Right. So even though he's already left Abimelech's land, Abimelech goes out to him.
Yeah, he seeks him out to make another covenant, just like he made with Abraham. He's like, okay, Isaac's basically, he's Abraham's heir in more than one way. God is with you. We don't want you to hurt us.
Yeah. Basically, he saw that despite efforts to thwart Isaac, Isaac kept growing because God was blessing him.
Right.
And so Abimelech was struck with the same fear of Isaac that he had had fear of Abraham. And so he went to renew the covenant to say, I'm going to be fair to you. I'm going to make sure everyone's fair.
Right.
Just don't hurt us. And so Isaac and Abimelech exchange oaths.
I find it really interesting. God is repeatedly blessing Isaac, and he blessed Abraham. And the Philistines, they're Philistines. They are not God-fearing, as Abraham said and as Isaac was afraid of. They are not God-fearing, but they recognize God's blessing. God was blessing so much that it was undeniable that it was God who was doing it. It kind of points to what's going to happen in the future, where the prophet Zechariah prophesies that in that day, 10 Gentiles will grab the garment of one Jew and say, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Abimelech saw that God was with them, and so he sought a covenant of peace. Abraham and Isaac are just the beginning of a promise that one day will be so undeniable that all the nations will see God is with Israel, is with the Jewish people. And when that happens, they will start to turn to God. They will say to the Jews, who is this God that you have?
But it will only happen when they're like Isaac, where they're all in the land and they're not leaving.
And they're walking in the promise.
And they're walking in the promise. They're following the ways of Abraham. And then they'll be blessed on account of Abraham.
Mm.
And everyone will see. So I think all of this is basically shown that the promise to Abraham has been successfully passed down to Isaac.
Right.
In its entirety.
Right.
Now we get to see how it passes from Isaac to one of his sons. And the question is,
which son is it going to be?
Isaac's favorite son was Esau.
Yeah,
the
firstborn. It says that back in chapter 25, verse 28. Now, Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game. And Esau was a hunter. So he's like, I love Esau because he cooks good meat.
Right.
and then it says, but Rebekah loved Jacob.
So not the greatest family dynamics. You've got a divided family.
Showing favoritism.
Right. Not the best of atmospheres. But Isaac's still
he's still a good guy overall, but
right. Isaac has realized that he's old. He's basically blind. And so he says, it's time for me to pass the promise on to one of my sons. And which son is it going to be? His favorite, Esau, the firstborn. So he calls him and he says, make me some of that beef I love. And then when you come back and I eat it, then I'll bless you with the great blessing of the promise. And so Esau goes out to go do it. But Rebekah hears.
Rebekah has other plans.
Right. Rebekah prefers Jacob. And as we've already found out, God prefers Jacob.
Yeah.
Esau's already sold his birthright. And God prophesied from the beginning that Jacob's going to be the one who's stronger.
Right. In a way, if Esau's already sold his birthright, doesn't this blessing belong to Jacob?
And so Rebekah begins to set things in order to make sure that Jacob's the one who gets that blessing. And it's very deceitful. She takes
some domesticated goats instead of wild game, but prepares it in the way that she knows Isaac loves.
And then she gives Jacob Esau's clothes and hairy skins to put on his arms to imitate Esau's hairiness. Esau's very hairy. And so then she tells Jacob, bring the food to Isaac, just like Esau was going to do, and pretend you're Esau.
Right.
And Jacob goes along with it.
Right.
Because we've already seen Jacob has his eyes on that blessing. He has his eyes on everything that seemed to belong to Esau.
Right.
So Jacob goes to Isaac with all the preparations that Rebekah made for him. Isaac's blind, like we already said.
Right.
So he doesn't know who's come in. And he says, who is it?
And Jacob's like, it's Esau.
So he's lying, but Isaac feels him.
You're right.
Like, you feel like Esau because you're hairy.
Right.
And but you don't sound quite right. Are you sure?
And he's like, yeah, I'm sure. And this is the worst part to me. Isaac's like, how did you get this soup ready so fast? And Jacob says, God showed me favor. He brings God into this lie.
Yeah.
That really is, it just leaves a terrible taste in the mouth. It's,
I mean, at the same time, what he said was true. God gave him success, and that's why he got the blessing. So that part might not have been a lie, exactly. Even though he stuck it into a midst of lies. So
it's such a weird story because it's full of deception. He's lying to an old blind man, his father, to take a blessing that is going to go to his brother. It's just full of deceit. But at the same time, it's to bring out what God wanted. It's really odd, but it's a pattern that we'll see later in the Torah with one of Jacob's sons, that God can use evil to bring about something good.
This just shows something that we already knew, which is that God works through flawed people to bring about his plan. No matter how you slice it, what Jacob did was not altogether righteous.
even if he was instigated by his mother.
And even if he was fulfilling what God had promised.
It still wasn't right.
But what Jacob did was somehow still in faith. It was still because he valued the blessing. Because he believed that if Isaac blessed him, he would become a great nation, and through him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed.
Yeah.
He trusted.
He wanted the promise of Abraham.
Yeah. But Esau didn't. I mean, Esau wanted
He wanted a blessing from his father, but he just wanted a blessing. He didn't want the birthright of Abraham and Isaac.
Like we've already seen, he just wanted things now. He wanted Isaac to give him some blessing. But Isaac gave Jacob all the great blessings.
Including, cursed be those who curse you and blessed be those who bless you. Again, going back to Genesis 12.
So when Esau comes back, finally, the only blessing he gets from Isaac is,
eventually you'll break Jacob's yoke off your neck.
Right.
That's it. That's all that's left for Esau, because Isaac's like, I gave everything to Jacob. Everything.
And so Esau hates Jacob because of it. This time he's more justified than the last time.
More justified, but at the same time, Esau then wants to murder Jacob.
Right.
So not only does Esau not care about the birthright, but he's murderous and full of vengeance and hatred. So he's not exhibiting any of the faith and righteous qualities that Abraham and Isaac had.
Right. And part of the blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob, like you already said, cursed be everyone who curses you. And as soon as Esau hears that Jacob has been given that blessing, he wants to kill Jacob, showing he doesn't believe the promise, or at least he doesn't think about it in long term. He's just so focused on now, his hatred.
Jacob is, on the one hand, he's like, yes, he's being deceitful and all that, but he's also looking forward in faith. Esau is walking in the flesh. He's worried about, I'm hungry, I'm angry, he took it from me. He's only focusing on what's right in front of him. He's not focusing on faith. He's not focusing on God. I don't think anywhere here Esau even mentions God.
Yeah, I mean, Jacob, like you said, in the midst of his lies, Jacob inserted God, which on the one hand is like, bleh.
But at the same time, he had God on the mind.
Right.
That's something, at least.
Hebrews tells us, I already said the Hebrews verse, that he found not a place of repentance. Esau was so now focused. He had no faith in God. How could he get the blessing if he didn't care about serving God or following him or
being a blessing to others?
Right. We've seen Abraham and Isaac and even Rebecca showing generosity and hospitality.
Mm.
But Esau's got none of that. Esau's like, me, 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 me.
And so we see that Esau didn't deserve the blessing.
Mm.
And while Jacob was a flawed person.
Pretty messed up.
Pretty messed up. But he deserved it more than Esau.
Right.
And regardless of who deserved it,
God chose Jacob. And that's another important thing. Yes, Esau didn't deserve it, but neither did Jacob.
Right.
But God chose Jacob because God chose. And so the blessing goes to Jacob. So at this point, because Esau wants to kill Jacob, Rebecca says to Jacob, you need to get out of here. Go back to Haran, to where my family lives, to my brother Laban. Go there and take a wife from his daughters. Don't marry Canaanites. So the same thing where Abraham said to his servant, don't take a wife for Isaac from among the Canaanites. Isaac and Rebecca both repeat this to Jacob. And part of the backdrop for this is that we kind of glossed over it a little bit earlier, but Esau had actually taken Canaanite wives. They were Hittites. And it actually says that it really made things horrible for Rebecca and Isaac, to the point that Rebecca says that she's tired of living because of these foreign wives. So these foreign wives, not only are they foreign, and so that goes against the promise, but also they were making things bad. And you can only imagine that that would actually have a negative impact on Esau, like we see in later portions of scripture where the Israelites take foreign wives and they lead them astray. These foreign wives were causing major issues. And so they're like, Jacob, do not intermarry. And so Esau overhears this and he's like, okay, I know how to fix this problem. And he takes another wife. On top of his two Canaanite wives, he takes a third wife who's an Ishmaelite. So it's just, it doesn't really solve the problem. I mean, he's at this point, he's just trying to play catch up for, he's lost the blessing, he's lost the birthright, and he's upset both of his parents. And so he's just trying to fix things. But whatever the case, Jacob actually, unlike Isaac, who had to stay in the promised land, Jacob actually ends up fleeing the promised land and going back to Haran.
But he'll be back.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is another instance of Esau not caring about the promise.
Mm.
Isaac and Jacob both take wives from Abraham's family because they value the promise to Abraham.
Mm.
Esau was marrying foreigners and assimilating
into the Canaanites.
Right. And so rejecting the inheritance that he was given. But the thing is, even after he had seen how much this upset his parents, he married an Ishmaelite, so that's someone in the clan.
Yeah, that's actually closer to Isaac than Laban's daughters are.
Right. But he doesn't, like, send away his other wives. He doesn't make any legitimate strides or big changes in his life.
He doesn't make anything better. He,
right.
He like makes an outward appearance of making things better.
Right. And it doesn't really matter if you're just trying to give a show of your devotion when you're not devoted.
Right.
And so that's what we see with Esau. But Jacob is going to remain true to the promise.
Right. And even as he's fleeing Canaan, it's with Isaac's blessing that he will inherit the land of Canaan.
Right.
So, yes, he's not remaining in the land, but it's with the promise that he will be back. Just like how after Abraham first came to the land, he ended up going down to Egypt for the famine, but he ended up coming back. Jacob is fleeing, but he will be back to inherit the land, which God has promised and Isaac has promised will be his.
Yeah, even though Isaac had previously shown that he was, that Esau was his favorite,
mm-hmm.
he saw what God was doing. And he saw that he had already given the blessing, but rather than drawing that back, he
recognized the blessing has been given. God has chosen Jacob.
And not only that, but he confirmed it.
Mm.
Knowing he was speaking to Jacob, he said, God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you. May he give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your seed after you, that you may take possession of the land of the sojournings that God gave to Abraham. So this is even more exact than the blessing he had given earlier.
Right. He's specifically saying it's the promise of Abraham. It's the promise of the land, and it's the promise to his seed after him.
Right.
He's repeating everything. He's like, Abraham gave me everything. I'm giving you everything. You weren't my first choice, but you're God's choice. So.
Right. And Isaac recognizes that God is the God of Abraham. And the God of Isaac.
And the God of Jacob.
So, big takeaway. Let everything you do be focused on the future.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be short-sighted. Don't be focused on how you can gratify yourself now.
Mm.
God has promised you what he will do for you in the future if you follow him. So keep your eyes on that. And let everything that you do be focused on that and geared toward how can you serve God? How can you obtain the promise?
Right. That wraps up the portion of Toldot. Next week, we'll be covering the portion Vayetzeh. So be sure to tune in for that. Thanks so much for watching this video. Be sure to like, share, comment, subscribe, and hit that notification bell to keep updated on new videos. And if you would, please consider sending us a donation to help us make more videos like these. We would really appreciate it. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next week. God bless.